in for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Good evening, everybody, on this hot, humid Wednesday night. And welcome to Insight. It's great to be back and on time this week, right, Neil?
Yes, it is. I'm very sure we are actually broadcasting this week.
Which is a good thing.
Unlike last week, so.
And we welcome to the studio.
Might have a... we got the right intro. I was thinking I might have got the sports talk intro, but I didn't. So we're okay. Sorry I interrupted.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry I interrupted you, Jack. And I just interrupted you again.
Again. The superintendent of Port Recovery Schools, Mr. Tony Stahl.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
With all of 2.5 days of experience.
We might be about 2.5 weeks now,
That's pretty good.
It kind of blends together pretty quick, but yep, we're getting started, so.
And the treasurer of Port Recovery Schools.
Hello.
Miss Deanna Canapia. Hello, Deanna.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I tell you what, it is always interesting when you have new people, because you can kind of like prod them and poke them a little bit and get them a little bit nervous, which I've done here for the last 15 minutes. So, but I tell you what, I think a great way to start for both of you, okay, is to ask the question, how did you get where you are today? Like, what is that career path that led you to the two positions that you've got right now? And Deanna, you're an old Fort Recovery girl, so why don't you go first?
I am. So I am a graduate of Fort Recovery. I graduated way back in 1994. I went to Wright State, got my accounting degree, and then I have, prior to working at the school, always worked in private manufacturing facilities. I've worked at Dannon and then also in automotive and in plastic. So that was all my prior experience for about 20 years prior to coming to the school. And then there was an opening that came up for the school for an assistant treasurer / EMIS coordinator back in 2017. So I started in that position, processing purchase orders and accounts payable, and also doing our EMIS reporting, which is a lot of the student reporting to the state. And during that time, that was a little bit less than 2 years, I was also working with Lori Cook and training with her and learning the treasurer position during that 2 years. So that was very beneficial to be able to work with Lori and learn her role.
So, like, was it tough going from, like, the business, the, you know, private business environment into the school environment?
It was very different, yes. It was a tough transition because it's so different from the private side. Like with government public accounting, you have, you know, the auditing side. We have Ohio Revised Code that we have to follow. So just everything that you have to follow, and the Board of Education, that was all different from what I knew.
Yeah. And just to be clear, so as the treasurer, you actually report to the Board of Education, correct?
Correct. The Board of Education is my boss.
Okay.
Not Tony?
Tony is not my boss.
So you can boss him around.
We are actually considered equals, and we both report to the Board of Education.
Yeah. Yep, correct.
Fantastic. So, Tony.
Yes.
How did you get here?
Well, I started my educational career teaching in Indianapolis out of college. I went to Wright State University and got a social science education degree. And at the time, at Wright State, you had to go 4 years to get your teaching license. And I wasn't quite, you know, didn't know exactly if that's what I wanted to get into. And spend money and time for another year in that program. So I joined kind of like a charter school out of Indianapolis that was hiring for teachers, like alternative licensure teachers. So I joined them, and that was my first job, was at Emory Manuel High School, teaching high school social studies, kind of on the south side of Indianapolis. So that's where I started for one year there. And then I had a job open back up in Mercer County at St. Henry, and I taught at St. Henry High School for a couple of years there. And then actually the high school principal job, I did my administrative training through Miami University down in Oxford and got my principal license while I was a teacher. And then the high school principal position opened up at Fort Recovery. And I applied for that, did not get that position. They did give it to somebody else. And then they called me back a couple of days later and said, hey, we might have a middle school job, but we'd like you to come in and interview for that. And so I did. And so I was in there, got that job at that point, was in the middle school, Fort Recovery Middle School, for 4 years. And then had some internal movement, had an opportunity to move up into the high school. And so I applied for that and kind of moved on up into that role where I've been there the last 3 years. And then now the superintendent role, kind of the same thing, you know, opportunities open up and I just kind of keep taking advantage of them, I guess. So it's been a pretty good ride, and it's been a lot of fun and a lot of learning opportunities and growth. But that's, you know, one of my big mindsets is always, you know, prepare yourself, put yourself in the best opportunity possible to you know, take that next step, because you never know when it's going to be there. So you got to be prepared and ready. And when those chances happen, you take them. And I've been fortunate to be in some of those positions and be in a good district where there's a lot of support and help to be successful. So it's easy to do here.
So from the time that you had your first teaching job in Indianapolis until today, are we talking 12 to 14 years?
Oh, no. Like 4 years. 4 years.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. In education in general.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I think this is beginning my 12th year.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just... yeah, correct.
Very good. Yep. And so... so it's kind of interesting that you said, so you went to college for 3 years at Wright State.
It would be 4 years, got a bachelor's degree, and then they had it was a fifth year master's program at the time.
Okay.
To get your license. You know what I mean? So you got a master's degree, I think it was master's in MAT, master's in teaching, and then you did your student teaching that year, and they kind of did that all in 1 year.
Okay.
And I was just like, I don't know if I want to go to this college for one more year at that point.
Another year.
Exactly. So I figured I got a job teaching in that charter school, and they were taking me. So I said, well, if I want to be a teacher, this will be a good experience. So.
And you loved it?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of got me into it. I think at that point I kind of, you know, validated my, you know, okay, I think I want to get in this education thing. And that was actually, it was very interesting. It was Charter Schools USA, which was a for-profit school. So it was Indianapolis. They had in kind of their law, I don't know if it's still the case, I haven't been following it that closely, but if a school was chronically underperforming for so long, then the state took it over, and then they could kind of bid that school's operations out to the highest bidder, essentially. And Charter Schools USA got that bid, and then I got kind of linked up through them through a job fair, and next thing you know, I was working in Indianapolis. So that was an interesting experience.
Yeah. So
the charter school, or that specific situation, so that was an underperforming school that the state took over and bid out.
Correct. Yep. And then that
So as far as the students, were they underprivileged, just undereducated, incorrectly educated before that, or
yeah,
what was the situation?
You know, yeah, it was a lower socioeconomic area in the south side of Indianapolis. It was pretty diverse, you know. I would say a mixed student body, you know, a little bit different from a diversity standpoint from what we're used to in Mercer County. But
so no Germans.
Yeah, there might have been. There's at least one German, I think, teaching social studies there. But no, it was a good opportunity, and there was a lot of good people, and it was a lot of they had a lot of high staff turnover, and so it was a lot of younger college kids from different parts of Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky that had kind of came in. So it was a good learning experience. It was 1 year, but I felt like I learned a lot in that 1 year.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the financial budget part of Fort Recovery Schools and how are we sitting and what's on the horizon. So we'll be back right after this.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious, home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price, Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second Cook's Choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
There's an event coming up you don't want to miss. The Cancer Association of Mercer County is sponsoring a bowling tournament, and it will be a four-person team, eight-pin, no-tap. It will be held at Miracle Lanes on Saturday, September 16th, with sessions at 2, 4, and 6. The cost is $100 per four-person team and includes two games and eight beer tickets per team. There will also be a 50-50 drawing and several raffle items for you to win. Get your team together and sign up now at Miracle Lanes or by calling Tom Ramoklis at 419-852-2987. That's the 8-pin no-tap bowling tournament happening on Saturday, September 16th at Miracle Lanes, benefiting the Cancer Association of Mercer County. Where there is help, there is hope.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Tony Stahl and Deanna Knapke from Fort Recovery Schools, and we just got a... got a Reader's Digest version of how you guys got to where you are. And I thought, especially since Deanna's up here and she's the expert at the financial part, that we would talk about the financial part of Fort Recovery Schools. Okay? So let's start with how are we sitting?
Right now, we're actually sitting really well. Since I've been treasurer the last few years, our cash balance has gone up. Like, our revenues are exceeding our expenditures, which is always great to see. I feel like we have a good handle on our expenses. We really push, like, needs versus wants for our expenditures, and our revenue has stayed steady. Like, our state funding has been coming through. The fair school funding plan has benefited us. We're actually going to get additional state funding next year. So our income tax has been increasing. So overall, we're doing really well financially.
Fantastic.
So you said state funding, and you kind of answered the question I was going to ask. Can we be sure that's going to keep up? But as of now, unless somebody changes a rule, we do know there is... you said more coming. Is it more than this year, or just know that we have some coming next year?
Yeah, so it just passed through legislature. So we will be receiving, they're estimating around another $700,000 next year in our state funding. So
in addition to what we got this year?
Getting, oh, yes.
Oh, so we get $700,000 more.
Yes.
That's really good.
Yeah, and our state funding, total revenue is about 54% of our revenue comes from the state.
Okay.
And
then is that about what most schools get, or is it just depending on certain things why we're getting the extra $700,000?
It just depends on how you do economically, what your community can provide to your school versus what the state provides.
Okay, so every school doesn't get X number of dollars per student or whatever.
Yeah, it's just weighted based on the school district specifically.
I know they usually do that, but with the state, you don't know.
Well, and then it's part of the biennial budget, too, so we at least have a decent shot for the next 2 years of what that looks like, you know.
So I was just going to... So the state passes a budget... I think the 1st of July is their target or something
correct.
Like that.
Yep.
That is a 2-year budget. So correct. So for now we know what we're going to get from them at least the next couple years.
Correct.
And the property tax. So you had said that the state provides about 54% of our funding.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the division between like the property tax and the income tax? And I know the income tax can fluctuate a bit. Mm-hmm. So is that about half and half?
So right now our property tax is about 20% of our revenue, and our income tax is about 23% of our revenue.
Okay. So it's very close to being even.
Yes, and we have a 1.5% income tax.
Yep.
So
good. So it is pretty easy from a budgeting standpoint to know what this school year and next school year is going to look like then.
For the state share, yes. For the local share, income tax can fluctuate.
Yeah.
So we...
Like, for instance, if JR Manufacturing after the fire decided, well, we're just going to move everything to some other town. That would be probably a pretty big hit for the village and for the school.
Correct.
If we didn't have that.
So we just try to go off of the history for the past 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. and where it's been and where we think it's going to go.
And
well, it's kind of like half your budget is relatively set for 2 years, and then the other half, like she said, the 20 and 23, there's internal community factors that, you know, businesses change, they expand, they decline, you know, that kind of thing that you can't really see. And then obviously on the expenditure side of the schools, you know, chillers go out, buses need replaced.
I had that happen a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. So there's kind of, you know, that other side, I think that other 50% is less certain.
Yeah, and real tangible things went up 50%.
Correct.
Inflation in 6 months. That's been a crazy thing the last couple of years.
Yeah, so. And you can't predict that because the next thing that happens is could be something very important, critical. All of a sudden, there's a shortage and the cost just skyrockets.
Sure.
So, yep.
Sure.
Which one thing we don't have is a permanent improvement levy. So our permanent improvement funds actually come from our income tax, is built into the income tax that we have to take 2.3 mils. So a certain dollar amount right now is calculating to be around 300,000 of that income tax actually has to be spent on permanent improvements.
On like the capital improvements.
Yes.
Which are things that have a life expectancy of more than
5 years.
Yeah, I was thinking of something like
correct.
That.
Correct.
Okay. So then you sit down and come up with like a 5-year forecast.
Correct. Okay. I am required to do a 5-year forecast, present a 5-year forecast twice a year.
Okay. So I'm assuming that since we were doing pretty good now, the next couple of years look good, that the 5-year is fairly positive?
Yeah, right now on our 5-year forecast, all 5 years, we are looking positive. So year 1, 2, and 3, I feel like we can get a pretty good handle on. Year 4 and 5, it's really hard to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, because you know what the state legislators are going to do for the next 2-year budget. So.
Correct.
Well, and you're trying to predict what the expenses are, too. So from a negotiation standpoint, like where are we at in like the teacher contract cycle, I guess?
So it's kind of typically school districts in general around here anywhere from, you know, 2 to 3, 4 year contracts at a time. So right now we're, and I believe year 3 of a 3-year contract.
Okay.
So this summer would be kind of when that current contract expires.
Okay. So you'll be starting that process probably in the fall?
Yeah, nah, probably a little bit later than that, and probably the early spring.
Yeah, March maybe we'll be starting.
Are you anticipating any kind of problem, or are you anticipating being able to give a decent cost of living thing to the teachers and staff, or is it really hard to tell?
Yes, I mean, you know, it's always hard to tell with those things. I mean, we have a really good teaching staff that, you know, I think we work well with administratively wise. You know, they've been, you know, like, especially with the pandemic, the last couple of years, and just, you know, the turning on a dime and being flexible and switching to all that stuff. So, you know, I think we've developed a pretty good working relationship. So it's hard to always tell going into those things, but, you know, I know we have a pretty positive relationship, and I think both, you know, teachers, administrators, staff members all have kind of the end goal of, you know, we're looking out for the future, we're looking out for the students, while also balancing some of those needs of the different parties involved, but doing it in a responsible way.
Yeah, so every once in a while you read something in the paper about a school district and you can see some sort of point of contention somewhere, but it doesn't sound like that's even a thing here, where there's somebody's got a thing where they're, we want this and it's probably not going to happen, so we're going to fight.
No, and that's one of the things that's great about working here, and you know, in my, you know, I'd asked earlier, Jack, about taking different jobs and kind of moving my way up through the district. Is the thing that's so enticing is how much everybody's willing to work together and the teamwork attitude towards it, towards, yep, you know, providing opportunities for students and making it a good experience for everybody. And so that's what's great. And, you know, there's always stuff that comes up,
sure,
but we do a pretty good job of working together.
And I'll tell you what, part of that process is basically, if you can walk away and the board thinks that they gave a little bit more than what they should, and the teachers think that they probably didn't get quite as much as what they wanted, that is where you end up, you know. And each side gives a bit, but you do it because from an education standpoint, from a district standpoint, it makes the most sense.
Absolutely. Compromise is the name of the game in a lot of places, so I agree.
In the end, we're all on the same team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, what's best for the kids.
Correct.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think everybody, you know, I'm sure there's somebody somewhere, but I think everybody's on that same page, what's best for the kids. And, you know, if the teachers have to take a little bit less money so there's, so they're not driving broken down buses or something like that, you know, that they, if they understand that the expenditures are really needed over here, and so you can't give here, then, you know, or they understand if they get everything they want, 2 years down the road, things aren't going to get fixed, whatever those things might be that need fixed. Seth, I don't think that's anything anybody's ever going to have any problem with around here. I think everybody understands, as long as they feel that the treasurer, the board, the administration is spending the money right. Frugal might be the wrong word, but, you know, responsibly.
Sure.
I think everybody's going to do, they'll understand that, you know, the value of teachers, and so you need to keep them here and want to give them.
You're rambling, Neil.
So does that mean we need to take a break? No, I was trying to be positive, Jack.
I tell you what, I would like for Deanna, and you don't have to go into great detail, but can I, do you explain what's a process of the 5 year, you know, and you don't have to go into great detail, but to, you know, what are the determining factors that you kind of pinpoint some things?
Yeah. So for revenues, I just look over all the revenues. And as far as like the state share, I go over what we are going to be getting from the state as far as what just passed through legislature. But then you also, we have our income tax. And then you just kind of look at trends as far as what's been happening the past couple years and whether that's going to be continuing. And then a lot of times we'll do like a 2 or 3% increase for property taxes. Like right now we're doing, all the properties are getting reassessed. So we will meet with the county auditor to see what's going to happen with the values of residential and ag rates. So I will plug that into the forecast also. So what's going to happen with that?
So from a school levy standpoint, there's a time when if they reassessed your property value, that part of the process was kind of, you know, lowering the millage on that.
Yes.
So is that still the
correct
the way it works?
Yep. Okay. Until you hit the 20 mil floor, which after this reevaluation, we actually should be hitting the 20 mil floor or really close. Yeah. So we can't go below the 20 mil floor.
Okay. Which is a good thing, I guess.
Correct.
That you've got at least that foundation there.
Yeah. So that still does happen.
So from an expenses
Yep. So for an expenditures, we just kind of look at salaries and benefits. Actually makes up 80% of our expenses is salary and benefits. And a lot of that goes off of what we have in our negotiated contract. So we'll do that. Like right now, I just used an estimate of what the raises are going to be and how much benefits insurance are going to increase for the next 5 years based on trends over the past 2 to 3 years. And then we usually do like inflation for supplies and materials and purchase services. If some years we have bigger expenses, like right now we're doing a curriculum plan where we're adopting curriculum by subject for year. So like we may have a large expense this year for textbooks where we may spend $100,000 on textbooks, and next year we may only spend $50,000. So you build all those fluctuations into the budget also for the expenses.
Fantastic. And then from an insurance, are we still part of like a consortium of a dozen schools in the area?
Mercer and Auglaize. Okay. Counties, all the schools are together.
So a typical increase in our insurance plan might be 5 to 7%?
Correct. That's like right in the range.
Okay.
It just depends. Like last year it was 3.5. Next year it's going to be 6.5%.
Yeah. So. Very good. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and come back and maybe touch a little bit more on the funding, but also talk about the staffing, because I think we've had a change or two in the staffing. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery has openings in their parts department. If you're friendly and professional with a working knowledge of farm equipment, consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Applicants need to have solid computer skills, a good ability to communicate, and the desire to learn. Full-time employees enjoy great pay and benefits. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers. Consider joining the parts department at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Stop in soon or give Hull Brothers a call today.
Miracle Lanes is now back open after their summer break. Stop in and see Corey and Jared, bowl a game or two, visit with friends, grab something to eat. And if you're looking to feed the family, what's better than Miracle Lanes Pizza? Also, try one of their subs or other sandwiches, and don't forget about their famous wings. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. And if you're planning a birthday party or other get-together, call and reserve your day and time for some Lanes. And be sure to get there for their great pizza and wing buffet on Fridays at lunch. Miracle Lanes is open Thursdays at 3, Fridays, Saturday, and Sundays at 11. Call them at 375-4274 to order ahead.
Annual Win on the Wall Bash is coming up on August 26th and 27th in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This year's event will feature over $1 million worth of prizes to be given away, including awesome vehicles, once-in-a-lifetime trips, big cash prizes, firearms, and much, much more. Raffle tickets can be purchased currently for the Tow and Go Raffle, featuring over $200,000 in prizes, as well as the pre-event 50-50 raffle, with a total pot already over $25,000. Purchase tickets now at wowraffle.com. The weekend also features great entertainment with Friday night headliner That Arena Rock Show and live music all day Saturday, including local favorite Salt Creek and country music legend Tracy Bird. Check out all of the details and get in on the fun by purchasing Tow and Go Raffle and pre-event 50-50 tickets right now at our website, wowraffle.com. And we'll see you at the most unique event of the year, the 2023 Win on the Wall Bash, August 25th and 26th in Fort Recovery.
Just point to me, Neil, whenever you're ready.
I think we've done something different every time in the transition, huh?
Yeah, and it's
I
always,
can't keep up.
No. We're back, and we're talking to Yannick Knapke and Tony Stahl about all things Fort Recovery School related here. And Deanna just filled us in on some of the financial stuff. So now let's talk about kind of the heart and soul of the operation, and that is the staffing and the teachers and the people part of it. So tell us a little bit about the staffing changes.
Yeah, so this year we've had for not necessarily, in general, I guess, but for a district like Fort Recovery, we'd not traditionally have a ton of turnover from an administration or particularly a teacher standpoint. But this year we're a little bit of a different situation. So we've got, I think, about 22 new to their positions or kind of transitioning staff members, if that makes any sense. So 22 people in the district that are either starting a totally new job, totally new to the district, or are starting a role that they have never done before, if that makes any sense. So it's about 20% of our staff. So about one out of every five people is doing a new job this year. So that is definitely a potential, transition for us this year, for sure.
Including you.
Yeah, including me. Definitely me, of all of them, probably. So.
Definitely. So, let's just talk about a few of them.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, like I said, it's really all over the place, too, from, classified staff to certified teachers to administrators. We've got kind of new people and all over the place. So I'll just kind of start with some of the classified staff first, the kind of the support services that offer a lot of, non-academic related things, but are just as important as everything else we do in a district. So obviously, Amy Potcutter is replacing Holly Gann as our athletic director. So she's been jumping in with 4 feet, started right away and been doing a great job for us. I think she said she's on here later tonight, right?
Yeah, so she's scheduled to be on Sports Talk. I haven't heard from Bob yet, but yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen.
Perfect. Yeah, so she's replacing Holly in the athletic department. And then we had Clint Kramer last year, who replaced Larry Hart. He retired. So Clint was with us a little bit last year, as him and Larry were kind of training together. So he was last year technically, but we're kind of treating him as a new staff member this year in our maintenance department. Marcia Schmitz is replacing Pam Fullenkamp in the elementary library, which is not necessarily, again, not a new staff member, but new to the role. Mm-hmm. So that's another change. Kelly Hine is replacing Marcia's job as an EMS aide, classroom aide in the elementary school. Stacy Laux has been on the staff for a couple of years, but is now taking over transportation responsibilities that we had in kind of another part. So Stacy's
is she going to still be in the office as she was? Just yep. has an. So does that mean that Cheryl's going to be taking a little bit of Stacy's work? Or
Cheryl always does a really nice job of kind of taking whatever needs done in that office.
Yeah, she's been around a long time.
Yep.
Even if she hasn't done it, she knows how it works.
Yep. So, she does a nice job and is a pretty good utility player for everybody in there. But I'm sure she'll pick up some of that stuff especially with Amy being new, kind of learning the ropes there. But she's awesome. She's in good hands with Cheryl in the high school office. We have a part-time custodian. Steve Neal is taking over that from Ansonia, so he's a recently hired part-time custodian. We've got a couple of new ESC personnel, Jenna Barlogi, Christy Workamp. Those are not necessarily Fort Recovery employees, but kind of through the ESC. They're new to our district from that organization or that,
Now, are they exclusive to Fort Recovery, or they kind of jump around where they're needed in the ESC?
Historically, it kind of depends on the student needs. They can jump around, certainly, but, for this year, they're set for this year.
Okay. Kind of what I know some of their ESC people go
some
around.
Of them are itinerant, and some travel.
And you just to fully understand, the ESC stands for
Educational Service Center,
which is a Mercer County
Mercer County and beyond a little bit. They've kind of expanded into Auglaize and then Dark. Versailles is kind of an aligned school now, so I'm not sure the exact number, but it's a 3 or 4 county consortium of schools.
So they would provide services that school districts wouldn't necessarily be able to hire a person for a specific job, like a speech and hearing therapist.
Especially like a district our size, like a smaller school that, the populations of, students with special needs or some auditory hearing conditions or things like that. We kind of partner and contract and purchase some of those services on, a part-time basis or a full-time basis as needed, but they kind of can come and go as those student populations fluctuate. Sure. So it's a little bit cheaper for the school to use those.
Sure, you might have eight or 10 this year and only have 4 next year. And
Exactly. And big schools can kind of have those departments in-house internally. They have enough either way kind of to keep them coming through. But in small school area, it makes a lot of more financial sense to partner with an ESC. And they do a good job. Those services are really good. We have good working relationships with that institution. So
Fantastic.
And now moving into some teachers. So that was kind of our classified support personnel in the district. But we have a lot of new teachers. Nina Faller replacing Robin Armstrong. So Robin Armstrong in the high school retired last year. So Nina's coming in and taking the job. And she's, you know, been, helped us a little bit out last year. Was kind of working through one of the ESC positions. We kind of moved her into that. So she's a full-time
That was Nina Wendell.
Nina Wendell, correct.
Yep.
Mackenzie Stump hired as a first grade teacher. So she is getting in. She was a little bit involved in the district last year. But now is a full-time position. Laura Brandt is replacing Kelly Toby in our elementary principal. Yep. She was on the show last May, I think we had her on.
Yeah, last spring, yep.
So she's definitely been, you know, learning curve there for her as well.
She seemed like she's going to fit right in and be A1 like everybody else.
Yep, yep, very excited about that hire. So she's been doing a nice job. Anna West Curtis is replacing Sandy Raffle as a fourth grade teacher. So Sandy retired last year. Anna West Curtis is coming in this year. We had Sarah Bretz is replacing. We had some internal LA movement. We had Mr. Niekamp, Mr. Reichert, and Mrs. Layfeld, kind of LA department, kind of took different jobs in the district that had, you know, some different spots opened up. So we had Brent's job open as an intervention specialist or a special education teacher, and we hired Sarah Bretz for that. So she's taking over that position in the high school. Brianna Mayday is replacing Jess Niekamp in the middle school as an ELA teacher. So Brianna comes from Portland, I think was where she was at previously. Michelle Stahman, moving grades, I think, again, for the second or fourth time. I'm not sure. Michelle Stahman, if you're listening, all-star. Appreciate your help in the elementary. But she's moving from first to second. So, we, you know, again, small school, kind of get different grades of kids coming through. So she's been a phenomenal, you know, help for the district as far as that goes. Tony Stahl, he's moving from high school principal to the superintendent. He's on the list. So that guy, keep an eye on.
He's been on the list for a long time.
Yeah. Ryan Steinbrenner, again, has been in the district, moving to the high school.
Yep.
So, you know, he's been around a while, Fort Recovery guy. So he's been, you know, adjusting to high school. Is definitely a little bit more going on up there, but he's been doing a nice job learning and kind of jumping right in. And then Holly Gans taking his job, moving from athletic director into that middle school principal position. So again, jumping in with 2 feet and doing a nice job down there. And then I think that's it. I think that was 20 or 22 people. Yeah. So that was enough, I think,
right there.
So that's obviously presenting, you know, and it's a lot of new faces. And so that's kind of been a little bit of the theme this year, the transition and making sure those people are getting the support that they need and the, you know, the professional development to be successful and not just kind of throw them in the fire. But we all want to kind of grow and learn together and, you know, put us on a good footing moving into the next couple of years.
So, you know, so I'm thinking of the CEO of Fort Recovery Schools, okay, to a certain extent. And all of your vice presidents are new.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as a young guy who is learning a lot on a daily basis, how do you give each of these guys what they need to be successful?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that was one of my, you know, mulling around getting into this position was definitely, you know, a potential concern. Just the, you know, the lack of administrative experience is, you know, always a big question mark. But I think a couple of things. I think number one thing that I'm very thankful and I am fortunate personally, as well as I believe the district at large, is the board has kind of invested in having Larry Brown hang around for at least part of the school year this year.
Yes.
And so that has been at least a personal, you know, very much kind of having an in-house mentor to kind of help me go through things, because everything I do now and is kind of the first time I've ever seen it, or at least, you know, have really gotten involved with it. So to sit down with him and kind of go over some stuff, I think has been tremendously helpful for my own personal kind of development. But then also, he's, you know, been an elementary principal, he's been a building administrator before. So, you know, with Laura and Holly and even Ryan to a certain degree, you know, the administrative team, you know, he's around to bounce ideas off of, ask questions. He's very knowledgeable about policy and can kind of help you work through different things that come across.
He's been around and seen a lot of things.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you've kind of, two of the, of your, as Jack called, vice presidents, you had those jobs.
Yeah.
You had the middle school and the high school principal. So
yep.
even if you don't know exactly how to administrate over it, you know what they're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
And that has to be huge too.
Well, and we have a tremendous, you know, building secretaries, you know,
yes.
Shelley Overman, Maggie yep. Harding, Cheryl Winnie. I mean, those people, they've been doing a phenomenal job for us.
Yep.
And so, you know, they have a wealth of knowledge and they're so easy to work with and willing to help
yep.
out. And
yep.
Deanna and Lindsay Reinhardt in the central office. You know, we have a lot of really good support people around. So it's kind of, you know, they set you up to not fail. And so I've just been smart enough to take advantage of that, I guess. And
I tell you what, it's incredible, you know, when you talk about the I'll call them the assistants, you know, like the secretaries or the assistant treasurer. Yep. When you've got a lot of stuff going on, to be able to confidently hand things off to people that are very competent, very good at what they do, certainly lightens your load.
Absolutely. And I think I talked about it a little bit earlier, like the teamwork mentality that we have in the district is just, it's phenomenal. I mean, you can, like you said, give it to somebody else and you don't have to think about it anymore. That person's going to see it through to the end. They're going to do a good job. They'll come to you if they have any questions, and it'll get done the right way the first time. And so it's huge.
So from your learning curve, okay, what's three of the key differences between high school principal, school superintendent?
Oh, man. Okay. Good question. I think the first one is that your scope kind of, you know, your lenses get a lot wider. You know, before there would be, you know, just to give you a kind of a funny anecdotal example, I'd be walking down the hallway, I'd hear some radio chatter on my radio, and I'd turn it up a little bit, listen, and it would be, you know, some elementary kid threw up somewhere. I'd be like, okay, all right, turn it off. Don't, you know, move on, keep focusing. So now, you know, those problems, you know, everything that kind of happens to the district, you kind of work, yeah, you know, you worry about in some capacity. And so it definitely, that has been one, you know, it used to be building specific, and there's a lot going on in the high school and the middle school and every building, but now you've kind of, you know, tripled that. So that's been one huge eye-opening experience. So that's, I guess, the first big difference. Second big difference is, I think it's, you know, it's early to tell yet. I've only been doing it for 2.5-3 weeks or so. But your day-to-day is not as chaotic. You know, it's not as go, not as packed. But you tend to be dealing with situations that are maybe a little bit slower moving, but they're kind of bigger icebergs, yeah, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
You know, so I think it takes, you know, and you can very easily get distracted on some of the day-to-day stuff that comes in. Bus breaks down, you got to go sub in a classroom to help out, whatever. So you got to kind of balance, like, don't get involved in too much of that, because there are a lot of big picture things that you need to work with the board, the treasurer, the other admins to kind of put you in the position for, you know, the next couple of years. And so that, I think, is a much bigger difference than being a building principal,
yep,
where you're worried, you know, period to period, what are we doing, and kind of keeping that focused. And then the third biggest difference, I think, is kind of how much you get involved with, like, the financial piece and, like, the policy, kind of the behind-the-scenes backside that nobody really thinks about. But, you know, if you think about a school district, I mean, we transport people, you know, we feed people, we educate them.
Take care of building.
Eating and cooling. I mean, you're talking, I don't know how many square feet we have, but it's 1,000 people that go in those buildings, just students and staff. And so we have, you know, a lot to kind of think about and run. And so I think kind of the behind-the-scenes working with some of our operations staff and team, you know, that's been a little bit more than you delve into as a building principal.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what. Is it time for a break, Neil?
Yes, 7 minutes ago.
Right on schedule.
Yes.
So we'll be back.
So I'm pretty sure that means sports talk will be a little bit later than
just a little
normal,
bit late.
But after 7 years, I think they've gotten used to it.
I agree. So we'll be back after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
Imagined yourself stranded on a deserted island. Now imagine the power goes out at your home. What next? Remember, this isn't Gilligan's Island, and the professor isn't going to save you. But Reisner will. With a Generac automatic standby generator, you'll never miss a beat. Lights, heating, TV, cell phones, and computers. Everything you need will still be working. Mary Ann can still make you a coconut pie. Find out more about Generac generators at Reisner Energy in Coldwater. 419-678-4858.
It's summer, and that means lots of cookouts, and Wayne IGA has everything you need. They have great prices on their nicely trimmed steak, ready to go in their grab-and-go meat case. T-bones and New York strips are $7.99 a pound. Angus ribeyes are only $9.99 a pound. Boneless skinless chicken breasts are just $2.99 a pound. Boneless pork chops are $3.49 a pound. And their ground chuck is $4.29 a pound, bulk or patties. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their large selection of wine and beer. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your cookouts this year. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the ladies will travel to National Trail, and Fort Recovery Radio will bring you that game live starting around 6:30. Friday will be football again, as our Indians will host Urbana. Our Wayne IGA pregame show will start at 6:40. Fall sports are in full swing, so make plans to get to every game you can. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Tony Stahl and Deanna Knafke from the Fort Recovery Local Schools Superintendent and Treasurer. And, you know, there's so many things that I could touch on. But let's start by talking about the school culture, okay? You know, I don't know how many years ago, I'm guessing it's been as many as 7 to 10 years ago, we started the E plus R equals O and the above the line type thing.
Yep.
So as a new superintendent, will you continue that process?
Yeah, I think, you know, building culture is always important. The state has kind of, and one of the things a lot of districts are moving to is kind of positive behavior interventions, you know, focusing on the positive things kids are doing and highlighting, you know, the things that are going well in schools and not necessarily always disciplining for bad behavior, but rewarding and promoting. So I think, you know, that is just in general a good philosophy. I think for organizations, private sector companies, you know, for their employees, but also especially for schools as you get, you know, young boys and girls that are learning and rewarding that positive behavior. So that's kind of been what's been our system over the last couple of years. Now it's kind of tweaked. We kind of turned that into, you know, E plus R equals O and some of those things that were above the line related and kind of turned that into the Indian way. And we put that into what we have is a culture and commitment guide for the district. And then it has our values, beliefs, and outcomes that we want. And so those values, things that we kind of like our North Star guiding principles, you know what I mean? That kind of then factor into and help influence and impact the decisions that we make at the district or building level. You know, the power, passion to grow, own it, and power of the tribe are kind of those three values.
Yep.
And so we like to kind of use those as our guiding principles in their culture and commitment guide. And so that actually, that document that we've created, and it's kind of like you said, a couple of years ago, it's kind of undergone some leadership tweaks over the years that expires at the end of this year. And so one of the challenges or the tasks for us in the district this year is to kind of recreate that and put a little bit of a modern spin on it moving into the next 3 years. And so that is, you know, we have a district leadership team, administrator input, teacher input, kind of work to put that document together that we can kind of then present to the board and then get some direction from them and the community on where to go next.
And the good thing about it is that though it needs tweaked, that true north and those values rarely changes greatly. You know, the things that were important 5 years ago or 10 years ago are still important today and will be important in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, what is past is prologue, right? I think that's William Shakespeare, I think, maybe. So I think, you know, what's old is new all the time, and those things are never going to change no matter how much technology comes in, but teamwork is always going to be a huge thing, and having a passion to grow and a willingness to learn and put yourself in a good situation to have opportunities, especially what we want our students to do and have our district in to take advantage of whatever comes down the road. So I think I agree 100%, and we're looking at kind of exciting process to get that involved and what that might look like for us moving forward.
For you, and it you know, kind of sets the tone for the school year, and it gives people direction. And I don't care if you're in the school setting or the private setting, people want to know where they're going. Mm-hmm. And that's a, you know, great opportunity.
Absolutely.
So you talked about the staffing and all the various changes, and I think it is important for us to bring up that you're always looking for subs. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Certified and classified.
Yep, everything. It's, you know, that's the thing. That is a big difference from private sector to education is, you know, somebody's not there, private sector. You know, you can do some work remotely, possibly depending on your job, or you can put that work off till another day, or somebody can kind of get a couple of things done for you. But, you know, there's 25 kids in that room every single day, and they just keep coming. So it's a challenge for sure.
So how about touching on, okay, so I'm out there, I have my bachelor's degree, I'm recently retired, and so...
You actually don't have to have a bachelor's degree anymore to sub as a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true.
So what's the process if I'm interested in learning more, or I'm interested in actually putting my name in, what do I do?
The easiest thing would be, so we hire our substitutes, our teacher substitutes. That's a service through the Educational Service Center. So that's one thing that they kind of, you know, rather than every district kind of having the same subs around here and everybody compiling their own list, they just kind of consolidate that into one, you know, document of, I think it's 140, 150 people, you know what I mean? So that, you can definitely contact them, but the easiest way, if you're interested in being a teacher substitute at Fort Recovery Local Schools, would be to call the central office, talk to Lindsay Reinhardt, and she will give you exactly what you need to do to get started when you go to the ESC or call the ESC, what you need to have ready. And like Deanna said, you don't need a bachelor's degree anymore. That was kind of a COVID stipulation that they put on to kind of help with alleviate some of that, but they've now extended it. Good. So,
and then, probably because they found out it was successful and yeah, you did get really good people, even if they didn't have that degree.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's always kind of a,
because you can have a degree in engineering, but if you're teaching home ec, mm-hmm, you know what, mm-hmm, does that really make much difference? Either you're capable or you're not.
Sure. And a lot of those, you know, especially the things we have nowadays with the stuff that a teacher could do if they are not in there, what, mm-hmm, they can prepare and the videos, mm-hmm, that they can create and the, mm-hmm, the lesson that they can do electronically for those students, you know, who are one-to-one district, mm-hmm, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can be done that substitute doesn't necessarily have to teach that algebra lesson on the board.
And most of the time, the substitute is going to be there for a day or two, so you don't have to get involved in setting up the whole, mm-hmm, curriculum for a few weeks. We're going to talk about Chapter 17 this week, and so you just
Chapter 17. And it's honestly, you know, they have a program called Ready Sub at the county that we use, that, so if you want to just pick, if you're somebody in town that just wants to do Fort Recovery or just wants to do Fort Recovery Elementary School and just the little kids, you can pick those jobs that you want. It's not like you have to go to places you don't want to go or pick the jobs you don't want to do. It's very flexible.
Yeah, if you want to stay close, like here, you could do Fort Recovery St. Henry or Fort Recovery Coldwater or something. You don't have to run off to
a sub in the kitchen, mm-hmm, or I want Marsha Smith's sub job.
Yep. That you would just call our central office and talk to Lindsay Reinhart again, and she can get you all set up, and then we take care of that ourselves within our district, and we need to get you board approved to be a classified sub, whether you want to help in the kitchen or you want to clean or you want to be an aide or you want to sub for a secretary. We can get you on the list for that.
Very good. So if I wanted to run for school board, okay, how long are the meetings going to last with you as superintendent?
You know, I think I like to think that Deanna and I and the staffs work pretty hard to put a good agenda together and try to keep board members as informed as we can and have open lines of communication to make those meetings go as smooth as we can. You know, so I obviously things always come up. That's, you know, the nature of being in the people business. So, you know, we address those things as we see fit. But, you know, as hopefully as smooth and efficient and as quick as possible is always the goal.
So I went to one when you were going to announce the athletic director, and it was killing me not to know. So I had to go, and it was over in a half an hour. went through three pages of agenda. Because everybody was aware of what was going on beforehand, and they would pass items 12 through 17 with one vote.
Yep. And I think that comes, you know, especially me, I think I have.
And not even discuss what those 12 through 17 were. Everybody had it and they knew. So.
And I think you've got to develop trust, you know, between the administrators and the board over time. I think that, you know, being in the district, I think I'm at a little bit of an advantage with that going into the role. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah. When you know somebody's not trying to sneak something past you or, you know, trying to pull a fast one, it's just easy that way. And I was amazed and pleasantly surprised when I saw that going. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. You know, because they just said 12 through 17. Somebody pass that.
Pat Niekamp never had us out of there before 11:30.
Oh, gosh.
Well, there was an email. They couldn't discuss stuff ahead of time. You had to just get on the phone and talk for 30 minutes ahead of time if you were going to do that with seven different people. So
it's like you get your crystal balls out, and this is for you, both of you, and you look at what are the challenges going to be for this coming school year or for the next couple of years. What's it telling you?
Probably right off the bat, we talked about it earlier with some of the staffing transitions, you know, particularly from the administrative side. You know, every administrator, that administrative team, the building principals, myself and Deanna kind of included in that group, all of us are in a new role, if not totally new to the district other than her. So I think kind of making sure that everybody's kind of off on the right foot, understands what's going on, is on the same page, and is getting the support that they need. Because, you know, these jobs, you know, things come at you, they can be very hectic, they can very quickly get kind of bogged down, and that's, you know, I don't want that. I want them to be feeling like they're supported, that we have a good team that can work together and they can lean on each other to kind of put us in a good position moving forward. So I think kind of balancing and navigating that is going to be a challenge this year.
Very good.
If that makes any sense.
Yep.
I think another thing I think is kind of, well, we have our goals, and I mentioned the culture and commitment guide. So we've actually improved our performance index score over the last 5 years. It's gone up every year over the last 5 years from, I think it was a 98 point something 5 years ago prior to the pandemic. And I think last year it was a 102.7. So we've moved up every, and that was, you know, kind of the pandemic in there too. So, you know, navigating that bump. So
The 98 where we started wasn't bad.
No, not at all. That's certainly. But they,
pretty close to excellent to start with, and then we go better.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that, you know, once you get into that level of continuing academic growth in a positive way, I think is always challenging. You know, you're getting to that top, small percentage of schools in the state, and, you know, how do you keep that improvement going at that level? So I think that's always going to be a challenge too. But we, like Dan said, we're making some financial investments in purchasing some new resources, textbooks, things like that, to kind of get us more up to date with some of those things, align our standards a little bit better, and hopefully, you know, produce more student growth than we have in the past years, which will help. So
out of, and I'll say, 700 school districts, where do we rank in the state?
Oh, geez, out of 700? I don't know. I don't know that answer off the top of my head. I would say probably the top 200 for sure would be my guess. Maybe higher than that if you go separate the buildings a little bit, you know, but that would be my guess, somewhere in that level, and hopefully climbing. So
I'll tell you what, we're going to take one more break and then come back, and I've got just a couple more questions, and I want to make sure that you guys get a chance to talk about things that you want to talk about if we missed anything.
And we have Rocker.
We got Bubba and Pete at 8 o'clock.
What?
8. Be 30 seconds. 10. 9. 8. WLW, they don't go over.
So,
that's true.
We'll be back.
We will start Sports Talk at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have a new segment, Insight 2.
There you go. We'll be back after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Gore's Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. As a coach myself, certain small things completed the right way are the ripple in the pond that many times leads to a tidal wave of success in your operation. Trust me, there's a big difference between a pass or a toss at your feet as opposed to one that hits you right in the numbers. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Our library will be presenting Create Your Own Succulent Garden on Tuesday, September 12th at 6 p.m. at the library. The folks from BU Floral will be helping participants learn how to plant and maintain a small succulent planter. The cost is $20 per person and is open to the public for individuals who are 13 and older. You will need to pre-register and prepay so they know what supplies they'll need, and you can pre-register at our library anytime during their normal business hours. You don't want to miss this fun event. Get registered now for their Create Your Own Succulent Garden event coming up on Tuesday evening, September 12th at 6 p.m. at our library.
Just say, let's go. We're back. Sports talk. Oh, wait. What the hell is this? Insight. And we've just...
The now, second hour of Insight.
So, was that like the quickest hour ever?
It did go fast.
Yeah,
it went really fast, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay, so, first of all, did I miss anything that you guys wanted to talk about?
No, I mean, I would like to give a shout out to the Sportsman's Club. They helped us with our the Mercer County Cross Country meet on Tuesday night. It went pretty well. We had a good night there, but I know that was kind of the first time for us hosting a meet out there, and they were very willing to help out and mow grass and lead the carts through. And we had a couple of staff members that are part of that organization that it just went really good. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, those people are A1. Mm-hmm. You know, they just do what do you need? We'll take care of it.
Yep, so I'd just like to thank them. That was made it a lot easier for us. And I know with Amy, her first year, kind of getting things under her belt, to have the Mercer County Cross Country meet on the first day of school was a big task. So we appreciate their assistance.
Yeah, she seemed kind of relieved last night when she got to the volleyball game.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
So, as a new superintendent, when you look at the next year, the next two, how do you measure whether you've been successful or not?
Yeah, I think there's obviously like the formal indicators of success. You have your school report card, you have your 5-year forecast, you have those things, and I think those things are important. I definitely think continued academic success that I talked a little bit about earlier, kind of trying to move that needle upward. Our goal as a district is to be at 106 by next fall in terms of performance index score. We're at 102.7, so it's in striking distance, and so I think that is going to take an incredible amount of work from our administrators and our staff and a committee financially and everybody in the district to make that goal. So I think that's always at the forefront of everything that you're doing in a district, obviously, as an education institution. But I think for me, kind of the less formal is there's a lot of change at Fort Recovery right now, teaching administrators, but I really don't want people in the community to notice any drop-off. I want the facilities, I want to keep improving those and moving forward and keeping them nice and keep no drop-off in student services, continuing to offer the same programs that we have and just have things run really, really smooth, and that's kind of my informal goal this year, is to keep all that kind of moving forward in a positive direction. But I want people that are involved in the district, parents, community members, students, to be like, wow, this is a really great, smooth school year. And that, to me, at the end, would be a very proud feeling that we've kind of navigated that first-year hurdle.
Fantastic. So, Deanna, you went from being kind of the newbie 6 or 7 years ago
yeah,
to
yeah.
being the voice of experience here.
Yeah.
What do you see as like the biggest challenges from your perspective?
I feel like as far as financially, it's just helping all the new staff members and the new administrators learn our financials and learn what their role is, and making good financially sound decisions. That's on my part. But of course, you know, it is our job to educate the students. So that is the most important, I feel like, in our school district, is to educate the students and keep them safe and make them feel welcome.
Fantastic. So anything to close on?
No, we're looking forward to a great year. We've had a good start so far, day two in the books, and we certainly appreciate everything you guys do for the school and having us on tonight and helping broadcast a lot of our sporting events throughout the season. Yeah. So we're hoping
for anything else you can think of that we can help with.
Absolutely.
That's really why we're here, is to support the, in my head, it's number one, the schools, students, businesses, and the community. That is what we're aiming for.
Yep, and we certainly appreciate it. Yep.
And Insight Host.
Oh, I'm not supporting you, Johnny. I got you some peanuts.
So, I tell you what, I do think that this is a time of year where if anybody's interested in running for the Board of Education,
are there seats up this year? Or is that,
yeah, but actually it's already closed.
Yeah. Is it closed?
So, yep, it closed earlier in August.
That's a tough shit ski then.
You're a little behind, Jack.
But it's okay. not bad. If you're actually thinking about that, go to some meetings.
Yep.
And actually see how things work, and you'll know if you want to even think about doing that.
And there's an organization out there, the Ohio School Boards Association, which is an organization that kind of helps board members kind of understand how schools work and kind of gets them trained up. And if you're interested at all in that in the future at all, there's information that I can point you in the right direction. So reach out to me and I can get that to you.
Fantastic. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back with Rocker after this, right?
Oh, well, we can. You already used our last break, but we'll do a couple of public service announcements and we'll come back.
Okay. Well, that's something you want me to just kind of ad lib, or do you have those taped?
Go ahead and ad lib them. I'd like to hear that.
That's all right. You can go ahead.
Okay.
We'll be back after
back
this
with Rocker.
Annual Win on the Wall Bash is coming up on August 26th and 27th in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This year's event will feature over $1 million worth of prizes to be given away, including awesome vehicles, once-in-a-lifetime trips, big cash prizes, firearms, and much, much more. Raffle tickets can be purchased currently for the Toe and Go Raffle, featuring over $200,000 in prizes, as well as the pre-event 50-50 raffle, with a total pot already over $25,000. Purchase tickets now at WowRaffle.com. The weekend also features great entertainment with Friday night headliner That Arena Rock Show and live music all day Saturday, including local favorite Salt Creek and country music legend Tracy Bird. Check out all of the details and get in on the fun by purchasing Toe and Go Raffle and pre-event 50-50 tickets right now at our website, wowraffle.com. And we'll see you at the most unique event of the year, the 2023 Win on the Wall Bash, August 25th and 26th in Fort Recovery.
The Fort Recovery Public Library will be hosting local author Janet Shane on Tuesday, September 5th at 6 p.m. This event is free and open to the public. Janet Shane is one of 25 women whose remarkable stories are published in an anthology titled Unstoppable by the Queenie Effect Publishing. Ms. Shane believes her experience of overcoming a near-death automobile accident 30 years ago should be shared on a larger scale and can provide hope and guidance to others facing tough challenges. Recognizing the struggles that women face and taking daily action due to a lack of self-confidence, Janet's contribution to the book aims to empower women over 40 to rise above their doubts and embrace the steps necessary to achieve their heartfelt desires. Make plans now to attend this inspiring event. Local author Janet Shane at our library at 6 p.m. on Tuesday evening, September 5th. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the ladies will travel to National Trail, and Fort Recovery Radio will bring you that game live, starting around 6:30. Friday will be football again, as our Indians will host Urbana. Our Wayne IGA pregame show will start at 6:40. Fall sports are in full swing, so make plans to get to every game you can. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Hello, Rocker.
Jack, what the heck?
I tell you what, I'd be remiss before we get started. So I just talked to Tony Stallin. He said that we are number 34 in the state from a school system standpoint. And I think that's out of like 600 and some.
Performance index ratings.
From a performance index rating, which is...
He guessed all three buildings in the top 200, and he was correct, but he was... We're noticeably better than that, six times better than that.
Number 34 out of, what is it, 614 or something like that.
Not so
that is pretty solid. So, but number 34 in the state to number one in our heart. Hello, Rocker.
God.
Are you running for office again?
He's just trying to get your vote. Nobody else is going to vote for him for saying stuff like that.
I kiss your baby, but that's got to be one ugly baby. That's all I'm saying.
What if he has a cute girlfriend?
So,
Jack, these guys want to get on the air before it's 80.
So what are we talking about, Rocker?
On this day in pop culture history, 1952, Superman was copyrighted, registered.
Superman?
For the TV show at the time.
Starring George Reeves.
Very good.
Yep.
Not good for the Reeves family because they end up dying in those roles.
Oh, well.
What?
Well,
they went all, wasn't George, all the same family, but George and Christopher Reeves. And Steve Hercules Reeves, what about him? He wasn't Superman, though.
No.
But he was Hercules.
Yeah.
Jim Reeves.
Late, great Jim Reeves.
How about Keanu?
Reeves.
He wasn't Superman.
No.
He wasn't?
Wasn't Keanu.
Was he Batman?
Next. Dean Cain?
Huh?
Dean Cain was Superman.
Who Cain?
Dean Cain.
Read, Cain.
Read my lips, or Scooter. 1997, G.I. Jane starring Demi Moore was released.
Who played Dean Cain's Lois Lane?
Terry Hatcher.
Very good.
What you got?
Yeah, when did she die?
She's still with us.
Oh, okay.
What did you just say? Was one you just said?
This show's dying, though.
Anyways,
August 23rd.
Demi Moore.
Oh, Demi Moore played G.I. Jane. Okay.
Well, Amy Pocketer just resigned. She said, "I'm out of this operation."
I think she'll stay at school. I think she's just gonna skip the sports talk.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh boy!
And this one goes way back, by the way.
I thought you said today.
Today.
Yes. Yeah. We do both dates.
Today's date.
Oh.
Yes. Today's date going way back.
Well, it'll be day 30 before the show gets on the air.
So what happened today?
Dolly Madison saves George Washington's pitcher from the fire.
Yep. War of 1812, when the British burned the White House.
Really?
It was in 1813 when that happened, but it was the War of 1812. She made a little Dolly Madison snack cakes.
Yes.
Well, that's actually what started the fire.
Burned it up.
Cookies her cookies burned.
I'm pretty sure that's not factually correct.
You don't know that.
I said I'm pretty sure. I said I'm pretty sure.
You were only 6 years old at the time.
Yeah, but I could read the newspaper.
1991, the start of the internet. Not by Al Gore, though.
Oh, he started the internet. He invented it.
Yeah.
Said so.
And I'm also the next Black Pope.
Bob. Do you remember the first time you got internet? Deanna, do you?
Dial up?
Yeah. You could only log in like between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, or else you'd never get in. Yeah. So you'd have to call in between 6 and 8.
And you had to pay by the minute.
You're connected.
But yes. It was 10 times better than whatever was before that, because there wasn't anything before that.
Okay.
How's the cashews, Jack?
Pretty good.
Somebody texted me and asked how they were.
Blood pressure.
It's good to hear me.
Yeah.
Happy birthday time.
Shit. Go ahead.
I'll try this again. Happy birthday time.
Happy birthday.
Yesterday, Trent Kaiser.
Happy birthday, Trent.
Today we got Caleb Dobson and Toby Metzger.
My granddaughter yesterday, Lena.
Lena?
Lena?
Oh.
I don't think she's a...
Lena's what? Four?
Four.
Four. Happy birthday, Lena, Caleb. We have family members wide open.
Thursday, we got Aaron Lettner and Kaylin Brackman.
Awesome. Toby Metzger's birthday today.
I said Toby Metzger.
Okay, I missed that one.
Well, everyone's babbling. And
well, we were trying to ignore you, so that, I guess I was successful.
Hmm. Hey, Amy's coming. Come on, let's go.
I ain't the one slowing it up. Genius.
Sorry.
I could have been done with this 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No.
Since in the daytime.
Citizen of the day.
My favorite segment. Citizen of the day.
Yes, because we always complain about whoever it is. Yep. We don't like it.
Okay. Nikki Gerlach.
Nikki Gerlach.
She only lives in Fort Recovery.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
Oh, she does?
Stay with me, Bob.
So where does she live?
Up down the road.
Do you have her address so we can kind of go down
and
hold signs?
Welcome, Nikki Gerlach, citizen of the day.
Celebrity birthday time.
Ooh, celebrity birthdays. So is this yesterday's?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks for playing along.
Glad to help.
Ty Burrell.
I don't like to interrupt you, but sometimes I do.
Who? Ty who?
Clock's ticking. Ty Burrell is 56.
Ty Burrell.
Modern Family?
Nope.
Crickets. We'll move on to the next one. Hot TV Chef, Giordano De Laurentiis.
Well, even if you pronounce it correctly, I've never heard of him or her.
It's a she.
I've eaten at Gia's restaurant in Las Vegas.
I believe that.
So can you say what her name is?
Why?
What's her name? Gina.
Giada.
Oh, Giada. Oh.
Gianna De Laurentiis.
Oh, okay.
Word. Kristen Rigg is 50.
Who?
Who?
Kristen Reagan.
Well, we'll be here until 8:30. Kristen Wiig.
A wig.
50.
You live on her street. You live on her street, Bob.
I like her. Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, you live on her street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's one here's one you won't like, however.
Uh-oh.
I know Neil won't.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Beetle.
James Corden, 45.
I don't dislike him. I just don't like him.
He's really good.
Okay.
He's out of work.
Is he the one that did the carpool karaoke?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's the best.
That segment.
When that's like the only segment he had that was good.
When like he went with Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
On that, and they went to different places.
That hour special was awesome.
Oh, I cried.
The listeners are crying. Might this
drop
right
something on your foot.
Hey, my testosterone level's down.
You're crying like a little girl?
Yep.
Okay.
Today's birthdays?
I'm pretty sure.
Alcohol level's up in my system. Okay, go ahead, Rocker.
Today's birthdays, thank God. Barbara Eden turns 92.
She's still alive?
92.
Yes.
Awesome.
First naval to ever be on TV.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And her husband was a naval officer.
Really?
No, he was Air Force.
I made that up. Okay.
Shelley Long, 74.
Making way in the world today from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Very good, Bob.
Yeah, yes.
Nice. 2 for 2 so far tonight. Comedian Jay Moore is 53.
Yeah, he used to be 30 years ago, he's on TV a lot.
He's big, but
not too much.
Guy. Yeah. And Steph Curry's brother, Seth, is 33.
Well, then.
And now it's time for the actual show.
Okay.
Yes.
This is what's trending. Give me your thoughts on these two things, okay?
Oh, Lord.
First of all, the WOW is trending locally. Did you buy 50-50 tickets?
You want the truth, or do you want the...
I want the truth.
I haven't got any yet.
Well, they're on sale till 9 o'clock tonight.
I'm out.
You have 1 hour.
Come on.
It's over $70,000 in the pot currently.
Ooh. Yep.
Okay.
So you can win a ton.
Will you be going to it?
Well, yes.
Okay. The second thing. Trending. Lisa Marie Presley.
Hard as a carp.
But the estate is in turmoil, Rocker.
Yes.
Kid. Why?
Why is that
why?
Trending?
I'm right with
you. It's trending.
You said it's trending. He's saying, why is it trending? And I think he might even be calling you a liar that it is trending.
Oh, yeah, I'm
trending. That's the way I understood his question.
Okay, the last thing trending, will you be tuning in to the Republican debate tonight?
If Trump's not there, it's kind of pointless.
Why? They'll be talking about him.
Yeah, but the ratings won't be there.
Yeah, so if Trump didn't win, who would you vote for, Rocker?
Ooh,
if, like,
Lord.
Trump quits, who would you vote for?
So, well, it ain't, I'd have to go with, I know it's not going to be a winning ticket, but I'd have to go with RFK Jr.
Oh, but he's a Democrat.
Well, okay. Better than Biden.
I know. Hey, and right there you have it.
Yep.
Everybody, go out and vote for RFK Jr. at the Republican debate.
I don't think he'd have voted at
I don't know how in the hell you get me into these things.
This is your gimmick.
So everybody, stay tuned. We have Amy Potcutter, the new AD at Fort Recovery Schools, joining Bubba and Fee on Sports Talk at 8 o'clock
at
tonight.
8 o'clock sharp.
Stay tuned.
Back in just a couple of hours.
Brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.